I don't know. I think a lot of problems at least begin with poor communication, don't they? Because if we understand why somebody's behaving the way they are, we're more likely to be sympathetic. So I'm not an expert on why people break up, but I guess I believe that a lot of relationships would survive if people realise sometimes the better comes after the worse.
So what would be some of the warning signs to look out for that would suggest that, well, maybe there's a bit of a communication problem going on here?
Well, I think sometimes, especially when we're in longer-term relationships, other things take over, don't they? So children or work or technology or ageing parents, and we just think, okay, well, I'll get in touch with my partner, I'll catch up with how they're going later, and we put it off and we put it off, and then a challenging issue does arise, and we're just completely out of practice at speaking with them. Yep. And we might find that the relationship has just kind of deteriorated and we didn't notice. So, you know, we did a lot of research with 36 people, 18 couples, and we worked really hard to find what helped them communicate well and stay in touch. And it was quite amazing, David, that just with 10 minutes a day of speaking about something other than day-to-day living,
yep,
they reported a great increase in their satisfaction with their relationship. And it was really quite simple because it didn't have to be about anything particularly serious. It could just be fun, but it was just remembering that they're people who came together because they presumably liked each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get together when we're young, we tend to think that the magic's going to carry us through, don't we?
Yep. You mentioned technology before. How big a part is technology playing in that breakdown in communication these days?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it's got its great points. And I was thinking before about when there's a couple and you're in the same room but you're both on your device, that you may as well be in other countries. And then I thought, but years ago we might sit in a room together and both be reading a book. Why didn't that feel quite as... That was more companionable. You know, there's something about technology that sucks us right in, I think. And it also sucks away our time, and it can leave us actually feeling lonelier in our real lives.
Yeah, that's interesting. What is it then? What's the difference between reading a book and being on a social media site or just surfing the web?
I know. Look, I can't really answer that very well because it only just occurred to me that that was the way we used to sit together in a room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you would comment about a book, but I think that social media is just this big well that kind of sucks us right in.
Mm.
Many of our senses, and we're just gone, you know. And you see it with children when they're doing something on a screen. There's just something a lot more mesmerizing, and it pulls you, all of you in, more of your senses in, and it just takes you away, you know, because it's so active. It's not in your own mind anymore, is it? You're just out there. So I don't know, but I feel it's great, but I think it also disrupts
almost
families, and we need to learn to talk to each other again and indeed to listen.
Almost like a black hole where nothing can escape.
It is, you know.
Not even light.
Sometimes it's a relief to have a break from it, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So is there then an art to conversation?
I believe the most important skill, and one that we really forget so easily, is the listening side of it. There tend to be people who are natural-born talkers, and there tend to be quiet people. And what we try to do is say, let's balance it a little bit, and let's give the talkers who feel a certain need to fill a space a chance to sit back, be quiet and listen, and let's give the quieter people a chance to talk. And I think that's what we kind of achieve with the art of conversation, because the guidelines mean that people answer the same question, but there is a rule about no interruptions and no butting in. And that's something that's particularly hard to do with a partner, because obviously you think that your memory of an event or your view is more important, or you assume that you know what they're going to say anyway, so you just cut them off. Whereas being heard, I believe, is very close to being loved. If someone really listens to you, you feel loved, you know?
So just staying quiet, not interrupting.
And really listen, like rather than doing that sort of fake listening where you're just sitting there thinking up your next remark,
yes,
you know, waiting till it's your turn. I mean, listening with some genuine interest. And I really don't think we do that as couples. Many of us don't. And perhaps there are plenty that do. But for me, I didn't, you know. I've been in a 20-year marriage. One of the questions that really hit home with me, because some of the questions are about reflections, about how you are. Mm. And I love this one, which is something like, do you speak to your partner in at least as pleasant a voice as you use to your friends? And sadly, David, my answer to that is, you know, mostly, absolutely not.
Mm, that's interesting, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.